The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A huge police response was called to Washington and Wabash, where crowds were seen fighting and blocking streets. Two teenagers were shot in the midst of it all.
But the groups, well, they became unsafe when they started flooding into the streets. You can see that regular weekend evening traffic was just trying to get by, but young people were coming from all ways, running from group to group through the streets. Police tried to manage traffic as kids were jumping on and kicking cars, even chasing after them. We even sent our own crew to the scene. They couldn't even get out of the vehicle because groups of people were surrounding the truck. And then gunfire. Just after 9 o'clock, one 16-year-old boy was shot in the arm and another 17-year-old was struck in the leg. Now, this was downtown, but on Friday, something similar happened at 31st Street Beach.
It was a lot of cops here, but they were still outnumbered. It was so many teenagers that showed up and they tried to keep the peace and keep them under control.
This witness didn't want to be identified, but said people were dancing on cars. One car was driving in circles. He believes it is the one that is seen here that caught fire. And when gunfire was heard, they dropped to the ground. A 14-year-old boy was shot in the leg.
So what's it going to take? The community has to step up. Parents got to step up. We can't keep blaming politicians and waiting on them. It starts with us. It's going to take us to save us.
That's Chicago over the weekend, and we just reported last week or week before those four Walmarts that are closing down in the Chicago area. Too much crime, too much shoplifting. The statistics just this year, a person is shot approximately every 3 hours and 41 minutes in Chicago. Less than 4 hours, as each 4 hours goes by on any given day, someone, somewhere, in Chicago is being shot. It's one murdered about every 16 hours. So far in Chicago this year, 161 homicides. And this is the way it is in nearly every big city across the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. We're off and running on another week of broadcasting here on KPCG, the radio signal that goes out locally here in North Edmond. Of course, we stream the video production of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch every day live at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. The email address, if you want to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. So they're having a House Judiciary Committee hearing right now about crime in New York City. In New York City, and just the little bit that I was able to watch this morning, really, it was just unbelievable that you can't even get agreement on both sides of the aisle to, hey, let's do what we can to lower crime. You have some of these Republicans that are just talking about these runaway statistics in New York City, just like Chicago, same thing, same story. This is Joe Biden's America. This is what happens. And in the hearing this morning, one testifier pointed out how that it really, in New York City anyway, the crime statistics were going down for about 20 years, more than two decades. And then you come to 2019. Where these radical leftists, they got the bail reform that they wanted, people getting out of jail, that sort of thing. And then, of course, the Summer of Love happened in 2020. Then you've got defund the police in 2021. And then now here we are. Just runaway crime statistics. This one, I think it was a congressman that said he talked to some guy in a cab, another, and he talked about the rising crime. I mean, they've got the actual statistics, and then they've got the personal accounts as well. One shop owner that said he, it's a good day for his business if he's not held up. It's just happening all the time. It's all over the place. Joe Biden's America, Alvin Bragg's New York City. I mean, Adam Schiff this morning, he was giving his statement and he brought up Donald Trump. Trump doesn't even live there. Somehow Donald Trump factors into this story. Trump's out of office. He lives in Florida. The hearing is about crime in New York City. And Schiff, because he's got Trump on the brain 24/7, he's talking about all things Trump. And then you've got the usual suspects talking about all things guns. The gun, it's amazing how these radical communists are able to shape the narrative. And then the Republicans, so many of them, they just kind of meekly go along. They don't fight. They don't fight back. There's a few exceptions. This is Alvin Bragg's New York City. What you saw in the opening montage, that's they've got a new mayor there. I'll get to his statement in just a second. These events, by the way, they're prophesied. They're discussed. I'm going to quote from The Missing Dimension in Sex. This is the book Mr. Armstrong last updated in 1981. You think, well, it must be horribly out of date. In fact, it's as applicable to today as it's ever been. We'll see it in a second. Coming back to Alvin Bragg, he's not going after real criminals because he's going after Donald Trump. He's got Donald Trump on the brain 24/7, just like Adam Schiff. Jim Jordan's trying to subpoena, or he's planning to subpoena individuals involved in the Manhattan DA's so-called investigation into Donald Trump. Bragg last week tried to get a judge to to basically throw it out or slam it down before it could even get started. This is from Just the News. A judge has rejected Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's request for an emergency temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction against Ohio Republican Jim Jordan on the same day that it was filed. I mean, this lunatic of a prosecutor, he's trying to get a temporary injunction slammed on Jim Jordan, who's just trying to investigate. Just, you know, the way Bragg likes to investigate everything Trump. So here comes a Republican majority finally saying, okay, we're going to subpoena people from your office and see what exactly is going on and see about this DOJ funding that you're getting and how closely you're working along with Merrick Garland's Department of Injustice. And he doesn't like it. So he's trying to look for a lunatic judge. In this case, he didn't get one. This article says the judge also said that Bragg did not provide several documents referenced in his requests. So he's not just a radical leftist communist. He's also a bad lawyer. The New York Post, coming back to the violence in Chicago over the weekend. And teenagers taking over. You might have seen the graphic in that montage we played at the top. Teen takeovers, it said. Here again. This aligns exactly with what Herbert Armstrong said in The Missing Dimension in Sex. He said the teens have pretty much taken over. The Post says here, the unruly mob erupted in violence, trashing property, smashing windshields, and torching cars while attacking at least one motorist, forcing cops to escort tourists to safety. The police, rather than putting these criminals in jail, the police are escorting tourists out of the area. Just like Walmart. I'm getting out of the area. It's so violent. We can't even live there anymore. One congressman from Oregon this morning, in his opening statement, he says, you know, it's sad. I went to college in Portland many, many years ago. To see what happens in Portland now when you don't put criminals in jail for throwing a brick in a window or something like that, it's just going to escalate. And that's what's happening in Portland, in San Francisco, in Chicago, in New York City, in Baltimore, in Houston, and on it goes. And then you have Democrats speaking up today saying, hey, New York City's the safest city in the country. What you guys are doing, you dirty Republicans, this is just a political stunt. They can't even come together and say, you know what, let's try to help these businesses that are being robbed or ransacked. It's just a political stunt, they say. And meanwhile, the violence is just, it just spreads. Here are all these teens, and social media, of course, factors in. Hey, let's go loot. Let's go take over. It says here on Saturday, hundreds, possibly thousands of teenagers massed in the Chicago Loop around 9 p.m. after social media posts called for a meetup near Millennium Park. Boy, can you see how the devil is going to use these kinds of technologies? And the human spirit, human nature, influenced by Satan? Can you see how he's going to use all of this as a perfect storm of violence? Isaiah 1 and verse 7, cities are going to go up in flames. We got a preview of that in the summer of 2020. And then Kamala and all the rest work to just let him right out of jail the next day. Two standards of justice, two systems of justice in the United States. Go after Donald Trump or any supporters of his at the protest on January 6th. And meanwhile, let the rape, let the murder, let the robbing and the looting and the burning, let that continue unabated. Just let it go. And then come to the hearing and say, you know what? It's the safest, biggest city in the nation. It's safe, New York City, say these elected officials. People elected them to office, and they're up there lying about how safe it is in New York City. In Chicago, this was Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson's statement over the weekend regarding these teen mobs of violence. He said, in no way do I condone the destructive activity we saw in the Loop and Lakefront this weekend. It is unacceptable and has no place in our city. However, here he comes to his main point. However, it is not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved of opportunities in their own communities. They don't demonize the youth. They have been deprived. Hey, give him two more seconds and he'll work race into this story as well. They've been deprived. It's actually your fault. You know, middle America, the middle class, we don't have enough we haven't put in place enough left-wing policies. We haven't spent trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars yet to give them these supposed opportunities. Our city must work together to create spaces for youth to gather safely and responsibly. What? To create spaces for youth to gather safely and responsibly? Okay, well, I don't even know what that means. But the Loop, that's a tourist attraction. So, and that's space. And you mean they can't gather in that space safely and responsibly? Why not? Absolutely no cause and effect here. No commentary on the breakdown of the family or a lack of discipline or opening up the jail cells. These young people know it. They know they can go out for a little bit of mayhem and destruction and they won't be punished for it. And this is the new leadership. This is the mayor-elect. Don't demonize the young people. Look, we got to create safe spaces for them. I mean, we're at peak levels of wokeness in this country. Listen to this montage of all these useful idiots. That's what they are, supporting the communist movement. Here they are out promoting the woke agenda of Joe Obama. That would be Barack Obama and his puppet, clip 7.
It is not rational that we should have a dramatically higher death rate among school-aged children because of gun violence than any other country in the world. If you believe you are compelled to let kids die in order to keep your freedoms, that's sort of the way this debate is.
The Declaration of Independence certainly rings hollow today as the Republican Party continues to push legislation that's not only wildly unpopular and dangerous, but also strips these unalienable rights from Americans.
On TikTok, you have been outspoken against a ban. Is there anything that you could learn about what the Chinese have access to, what they're doing with it, that would prompt you to support a ban?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any evidence of Chinese espionage. At the same time, Facebook in real time ignored Russian interference in our 2016 elections.
That means the global market is extremely volatile. So what's better for us? The better choice is to move to electrify transportation, because it is so much cheaper for you to operate an electric vehicle than it is to fill up your tank with gasoline.
We've got a crisis when it comes to roadway fatalities in America. We lose about 40,000 people every year. It's a level that's comparable to gun violence. And we see a lot of racial disparities. Black and brown Americans, tribal citizens, and rural residents much more likely to lose their lives, whether it's in a car or as a pedestrian being hit by a car. There are a lot of reasons related to discrimination.
There's your transportation secretary tying discrimination to deaths caused by car accidents. It's unbelievable. What you hear from these people, it all boils down, it always boils down to what? Race, electric cars. This is what they're talking about as our streets become infested with crime, actual crime. And they go on and on with their radical woke agenda. And then they're able, as I say, they're able to shape the narrative and nobody pushes back. Bill Clinton saying that, well, I mean, if you're compelled to let kids die to hold on to your Second Amendment rights, well, then you should know you're a murderer. You're the murderer. It's the Republicans who are murdering, not the criminals in the streets. This was from the Daily Caller. The DOJ is offering no jail time for a transgender activist who vandalized a church and assaulted a woman after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. This happened last summer. And the trial, I guess, has come along these past few months. Here's someone that vandalized. It says Noda also, that's the name of the transgender, assaulted a woman, spray painted another person in the face, attacked police and hit an officer's vehicle with a bag of spray paint and cans. And the Biden administration is working to give her exactly no jail time. No time in jail for assaulting people. Well, she's transgender. That's a protected class. And you know who else is protected? The criminals out there burning, looting, shooting, killing, raping. They're a protected class, you see. And so Democrats can get up there like they have in the hearing this morning over crime in New York City and say, hey, come on now, this is a political stunt, Jim Jordan. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are investigating Alvin Bragg? Donald Trump's a criminal. In their minds, he's the only criminal there is in the country. He and his supporters, that's it. Our poor cities. Herbert Armstrong, as I say, he was talking about this scourge of violence. Even back in 1981, he begins chapter 12 of The Missing Dimension in Sex by looking at the world in revolt. He was writing, as I say, in 1981, but there's nothing about this that's outdated. He was way ahead of his time, in fact. We go through this material in our Principles of Living course here at the college, God's College. He says it's a world in revolt. In rebellion against much more than the pre-20th century sex repression, and the modern downward spiral of humanity involves a much wider area than sex alone. The downward spiral. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:13 that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse and worse here in these last days. We're seeing it. Mr. Armstrong said, today the family structure of Western life is endangered by much more than illicit and promiscuous sex. Along with the modern sex rampage of adolescence has come other addictions that titillate, arouse, stimulate, and please the physical senses. It says accompanying sexual indulgence has come in teen life. Alcohol, drugs, tobacco, modern X-rated movies, gangsterism, and violence. It's happening in teen life. You saw a bit of it over the weekend in Chicago as teens in the hundreds, perhaps the thousands, took to the streets and basically took control. The police had to get the tourists out of there. It was too dangerous. Notice what it says in Isaiah 3, verse 4. I will give children to be their princes and babes shall rule over them. Children ruling over society. In 1965, Mr. Armstrong said, the future welfare and even the existence of civilization is dependent on the educational system. Yeah, and what have they been getting in that educational system? He said that in 1965. And since that time, they've been getting a steady diet of communist ideology. That's right. We see the attack, as America Under Attack puts it, or the sickness, as Isaiah 1 puts it, from within. This is what's killing us as a nation. This is what's killing Israel, the end-time nations of Israel. This sickness, this rot on the inside. Family life completely upside down. Children oppressing society. There's verses in the Psalms that talk about how wonderful children are. They should be a wonderful blessing to society. Well, they are when the family is aligned with the laws of marriage and family as outlined in the Holy Scriptures. But we're well beyond the traditional family. Now we're in the age of transgenderism. Everyone's a transgender, don't you know? And if they do something wrong, hey, slap on the wrist. That's all that's needed. We got to protect that class. We got to protect the criminal class as well. We got to open up the prisons, except for Trump, and just let people live, man. Let them live their lives. Verse 5, it says, and people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. That's Isaiah 3 and verse 5. Is that the world we live in? That's a perfect description of the world we live in. The child, you see, behaving himself proudly against the ancient, the older, no respect for the older, elderly ones, the wise, the prudent individuals. There's not many of them either. The first two verses of this chapter brings that out, the first three, I guess. Verse 9, it says, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. I mean, even the hardened dictators of this world wouldn't put up with crime and violence in the streets the way we do here in America. We allow it to happen, and then the leaders in America, half of them anyway, stand up and say, hey, New York, just keep your mouth shut. New York City is safe. Our big cities are safe. There's no violence. There's no crime. There's no mobs of teens terrorizing people. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. It says, O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. You notice the men aren't mentioned there. No mention of fathers. Fatherless America. This is what happened. You remember that? We played that segment for you a couple years ago. Those fathers in Texas at a school, primarily black students. The black fathers showed up just to get a little bit of authority and obedience into the mix because there were fights all over the place. So the fathers had to show up to administer some loving government. And guess what? The crime and the violence plummeted. The fathers are missing in this verse. And so the teenagers are taking over. It was on the montage I played at the start. Teen takeovers. That was the graphic on a local station in Chicago. Teen takeovers? Really? Chicago? The celebrated city of the Midwest? That's right. Here's what it says in Missing Dimension in Sex. Few people stop to realize to what extent the teenagers have taken over. That's 1981. Tomorrow's news today, that's not even in the plain truth. That was just the Missing Dimension in Sex. People don't realize how much the teenagers have taken over. He says they pretty well dominate the world picture. He says, look at the facts. Why do radio stations play the music that they do? Why do movies come out with the content that they do? They're trying to appeal to young people. They want to get the young people as their most devoted audience because they have so much power. It says here, but then they say these youths pretty well dominate the nation's consumer spending. Who determines what is popular music today? The teens. Adolescents determine dancing trends, motion picture themes, radio formats, and even advertisements and most fields of entertainment. And then he goes on and gives some statistics. If anything's outdated, it would just be the statistics from 1981. But this is Herbert Armstrong writing under the inspiration of God, well ahead of his time. This is, again, one last quote. It says, what many do not realize is that this teenage influence on the whole society is predominantly sexual influence. There's a more intense preoccupation with sex during these years than in later maturity. Therefore, sex became the basic formula for motion pictures, along with violence and crime, including murder. Sex and violence, there you go. I mean, you can't really make a good movie without both of those themes, can you? Do you see very many pictures or programs? I mean, the music that's out there glorifying violence, glorifying sex, it's insanely popular. Satan has a stranglehold on our society. And here we're at the final insane stages where you've got the political class protecting the transgender class above all else. It says here, in the past 20 or 30 years, teenagers have come to recognize there are advantages in organization and numbers. That's what you saw in Chicago over the weekend. Everybody gets the word on social media. They all turn out. It's not just one criminal that, you know, he wouldn't be as bold to smash in windows if he was just out there on his own. But, you know, you add 700-800 to the mix and you can just do whatever you want. How long is this kind of a society, how long is this kind of a nation going to last? I mean, just leave aside prophecy for a moment. How much longer could this go on until we just completely imploded from within? Well, that's pretty much where we are. That's what we see happening. And the leaders, they rush into the hearing this morning and they say, hey, everything's peaceful. No crime. New York City, peaceful. You guys on the other side, you're the problem. Not the criminals in the street, not the crime statistics, out of control crime statistics. It's you Republicans. That's what the problem is, they say. They lie. Speaking of communists lying, when we come back, we'll play you a few clips from Jesse Waters' show on Friday night. He's come around. He's a little late to the party. But he had a segment on Friday on the communist infiltration of the United States, a theme, a subject you've heard on this program for quite some time. America Under Attack, of course, delves into that in quite a lot of detail. We'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In He Was Right, I think it's on page 44, there's a chapter in here on the communist infiltration of America was prophesied in the previous segment. I gave you all those quotes from Mr. Armstrong's 1981 version of The Missing Dimension in Sex. That's almost, over 40 years ago. 42 years, if my math is correct here on the fly. Mr. Armstrong was talking about the spread of youth violence, mob violence. Well, even before 1981, he was prophesying of the communist takeover of the United States. I have a quote here for you from that chapter, the communist infiltration chapter, where we wrote, 36 years after Herbert Armstrong first started warning American radio audiences about communism in 1934, KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov defected from the Soviet Union and escaped to Canada. It says, after his defection, Bezmenov went to great lengths to warn the people of America that they were at war with communism. It says here, like Mr. Armstrong said, this was not a war of guns and tanks, but of ideological subversion. Psychological war, in other words. Ideological subversion, Bezmenov said, is a long-term process involving four stages. One, demoralization. Two, destabilization. Three, crisis. And then four, normalization. Now listen to Jesse Waters from his segment on this subject from Friday's show, clip one.
What if I told you that we lost the Cold War? That before we beat the Soviets, the Ruskies dropped a slow-releasing time bomb in the United States, and it would destroy us from the inside out. But it wasn't a nuke. It was psychological warfare.
Sam, is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions.
That was Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB informant and Soviet defector, who told us all back in, 84, that it was already too late. The commie mind virus was already loose, and America's well on the way towards national decay. He called it the four stages of ideological subversion, basically a roadmap for tricking enemy nations into committing cultural suicide.
The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, it doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation.
So who's destabilizing us? Are there thousands of Soviet sleeper cells still operating here? Not really. We're doing it ourselves.
Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards.
So all of this was before the internet, where you could only brainwash people face to face, but now you have social media. It's like pouring gas on the fire. So what's the end goal of all of this? Steps 3 and 4, crisis and normalization. You make us fat, ignorant, angry, divided, too lazy to take responsibility for the well-being of ourselves and the nation. And then you consolidate all the power in a federal government that's just happy to bribe us into submission.
That's from Friday evening. It's interesting there. He talks about Bezmenov's testimony from, 1984. This is all before the internet. And then he said that last statement, the big brother government in Washington, D.C., you consolidate all of these forces, this power, Elon Musk, he sat down with Tucker Carlson recently. I guess Carlson's going to play that that full exchange or interview tonight on his show. So we'll have to see if there's any clips that come out from that for tomorrow's broadcast. But this was a little snippet that came out over the weekend. This is Musk with Tucker, clip six.
The degree to which various government agencies had effectively had full access to everything that was going on Twitter blew my mind. I was not aware of that.
Would that include people's DMs?
Yes.
Full access, including direct messages. Of course, the Twitter files have blown the lid off of this already. But the degree to which the government had access, control, really, it just blew his mind. They still have quite a lot of control, even with him at the helm. But at least he's reversed a bit of it. Sundance, of course, has been all over this. The Obama-inspired takeover of big tech, social media, 2011 and 12. I mean, hey, they went to Facebook, they went to Twitter, and they said, hey, you've got this this Arab Spring, and there's lots of disinformation out there, and we've got to, you know, we need your help. Quote unquote, we need your help. And then over the past 10, 11 years, you've had, as the Twitter files expose, as we've commented on this show over the last several months, you have all of these agents from the DOJ, FBI, they're moving into Silicon Valley. They're working at Twitter. It's back and forth, back and forth. The government having a portal into these social media giants. Sundance says here, the larger objective of U.S. involvement in social media has always been monitoring and surveillance of the public conversation and then ultimately controlling and influencing public opinion. Look at all of these communists, through and through, people like John Brennan. They're not only talking heads on the cable news networks, but you've got so many of these social media giants staffed with communist thinking and ideology as well, just as Bezmenov warned in 1984 and just as Herbert Armstrong warned 30 or 40 years before that. He was right. This is a quote from America Under Attack, the other book that we point you to so often. It says here, in 1956, Herbert Armstrong encapsulated the emerging threat of communism in America as a psychological warfare of propaganda, infiltration, subversion, demoralization. It is a warfare that has attacked our minds and our moral and spiritual values rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. That's 1956. That's a quote from Herbert Armstrong. And then Bezmenov, to his credit, came along 20, 30 years later and sounded the alarm, but nobody listened. Nobody thought it could ever get this bad. It says here, Mr. Armstrong said that this warfare is actually described in biblical prophecies. It's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with, he wrote. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. See, we're right at the last stage, aren't we? Obviously. It says, think seriously about that statement. Look at America today. Have those communist objectives been achieved? And then later my father says, the communist infiltration Mr. Armstrong warned about has happened. It's here. It's upon us. He was right. America Under Attack. Request both of them, the 800 number, if you live in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. It's 1-866-930-3024. Here's another bit from Friday's show at Jesse Waters, clip two.
But he was right about how the left does not give up until they have forced their ideology on the rest of us. And in the last few decades, they've marched through our institutions, organizations, companies, and government agencies. And so Bismyonov was only wrong on his timing. It's happening right now.
Communist infiltration. Herbert Armstrong, tomorrow's news today. He was right. And he was right. It says, seeing the big picture, the bigger picture, Mr. Armstrong warned that demoralization tactics originated from a higher source than Karl Marx or KGB. Communism is the devil's effort. This is quoting Herbert Armstrong. It's the devil's effort through his demon-inspired human tools to take from us this national, this greatest national and economic blessing God ever conferred on any people. I mean, that ties in some prophecies in the United States and Britain in prophecy. The blessings that God promised to Abraham's descendants, if Abraham would obey him in everything, and he did. And God dispensed with those blessings from heaven not really that long ago. That's how you explain the incredible prosperity and power of the United States of America and the Empire of Britain, the most powerful, far-reaching empire in the history of civilization, human civilization. It says here, he wrote that bit in 1949 at The Plain Truth. It says, even though the Soviet Union fell before its subversion efforts could progress to the stage of destabilization and crisis, the effects of Satan-inspired psychological demoralization tactics are still very much alive in America today. That's exactly what Jesse Waters was saying on his show Friday. That quote's from He Was Right. Here's one final clip from Waters, clip three.
Leftists have forced conformity through cultural revolutions before. The difference in America today is that you're not risking being sent to a work camp or prison for disagreeing. Right now you risk, you know, social ostracization and some negative comments on social media, but it's already moving in the direction of your job being targeted if you step out of line. So we have to stop it now or it spirals and causes real damage. Do they know they're causing a cultural revolution? I think that they do.
So what's the end goal of the revolution? The destruction of the United States, is there anything they're replacing it with?
Well, the leftist dream, right? It's the communist, socialist, leftist dream that they're going to replace everything with.
That's from just a few days ago. One final quote here from He Was Right. Herbert Armstrong warned that communist economics would sap America's strength and weaken its economic power. Satan is not a visible red devil with tail, horns, and a pitchfork, he wrote in 1951. The real Satan is invisible. The world doesn't see him or recognize his works. It doesn't grasp the diabolical deception of communism, Satan's economic delusion, employing propaganda based on false economies as its first arm of attack. So that's from He Was Right. Again, request that literature and delve more deeply into that study. I've been sitting on some content about the famous speech, the Iron Curtain speech that Churchill gave in Fulton, Missouri back in 1946. And we'd like to play some sound bites even from that. You do have, you know, you had Mr. Armstrong at that same time, really, the same time period as Churchill, sounding the alarm. Churchill obviously was sounding the alarm about the spread of communism, but people just dismissed it. Bezmenov comes along in the 1980s. He sounds the alarm. People dismissed it. They're not dismissing it today. He was right. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll take another short break and be back to conclude today's show. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
No, I don't think it's the field starting to look like Trump. In fact, you know, when you're indicted in one place and you're facing investigations in two others, it makes you at least an uncertain winner. But again, he's the former president, so of course he's going to be the front runner. He has the best name ID in the race of anybody else that's running. But you already have four other candidates now who are announced in. But this is what I said, John, a couple months ago on this show. This is not going to be a 2016 field. This is going to be 6 to 8 candidates that are going to be running. It'll be a normal type sized field. But certainly it's not going to be a field that Donald Trump has cleared. Because if you see, you know, already Asa Hutchinson in the race and Nikki Haley in the race and now Tim Scott in the race, you know, these are substantial people who are going to have something to say.
Asa Hutchinson. Yeah, he's substantial, says the Rhino. I think Christie might even join. He might even jump into the race. They want so badly for Donald Trump to get out of the race. These are Republicans, keep in mind. All the ones that he just mentioned there. Several others have decided, I'm not going to throw my hat in the ring. Glenn Youngkin, I believe, and DeSantis is even losing some of his financial support from the big donors. There are some, usually the ones that control the purse strings can kind of have a more objective look at what's transpiring. But there's the talking heads going on and on how it can't be Trump. It just can't be anyone but Trump. Even Republicans say it. What does God have to say? Well, we've told you a time or two on this show. You know, you know what will happen in the primary if it even goes the political way. I mean, the affliction is so bitter. The destruction, it's everywhere. Wide open border. I mean, Title 42 is about to be lifted. There's going to be even more. Storming the border, invading the southern border of the United States. As the politicians get up there in some hearing somewhere and say, everything's perfect. We've got border security. Mayorkas can't even call it a crisis. And then you've got other Democrats that can't even acknowledge that crime has increased in New York City. How do you work with people like this? How do you try to come to some consensus that you would think on anything? Okay, Walmarts are shutting down. There's teenagers taking over in Chicago. We need to do something. And so what does the good mayor say? Don't demonize the teens. It's exactly the way they reacted when the transgender shot up the Christian school. Don't demonize the transgenders. The same thinking when the radical Islamist shot up Fort Hood years and years and years ago. Don't demonize the people of Islam. What about the rights for victims of violent crime? How many people in Congress even care about that? Isaiah 1 and verse 7. Maybe we should just read it. I've mentioned it a couple of times on today's show already. Look at what it says in Isaiah 1 and verse 7. It says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. That's Isaiah 1 and verse 7. We've got a booklet on Isaiah the prophet's writings, the Isaiah booklet. That's another one that you can call our operators and request your own free copy. No cost, no obligation for any of the literature offered on this show. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. A few emails coming in from viewers of this show says here, thank you for your broadcast today. I found it incredibly inspirational and informative. But why should you be anything else when you speak from or for the kingdom of God? It says, I could listen to you for hours. You're a great narrator. God is using you in a wonderful way. Appreciate that feedback. This one here from Texas. It says, thank you so very much for informing us daily what is happening in the news, then tying it to Bible prophecy. This is a strong warning to Laodiceans and the world. We thank all the presenters in your absence for carrying on the same theme. A lot of thoughtful work, hard to put into words, our appreciation. Well, yes, God is reaching out to the Laodiceans, and we're living in the age of Laodicea in more ways than one. The spirit of lukewarmness, of thinking that material things will save you, rich and increased with goods, it says about the Laodiceans. They think they're doing just fine, but they don't realize that they're spiritually blind and naked. They have no protection, no defense. They have no understanding. They have no spiritual vision to see what's coming. God is a God of love. He is reaching out to warn. Thank you, it says here, for being the oasis of truth in the desert of perverted deception, which is today's world. It says, Mr. Noctegal and Mr. Eames were both enjoyable and educational. They subbed in for us recently. You should look, by the way, at, I forget the exact tag on Mr. Noctegal's program, but on YouTube, I mean, he's got a couple of shows that have gotten tens of thousands of views. So the new institute that we only established last year, and we've got the publication, Let the Stones Speak, the work going on in Little Judah, the modern nation of Israel today, the little nation in the Middle East, it really is growing and expanding even as we speak. It's very exciting to see that. It says here, I would love to see an added half hour once or twice a week for on-site reporting, discussion, with all the different offices we have around the world. Thank you for all of your effort and service. We've gotten lots of positive feedback for the new segments that we've added to this show on Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays, of course, being Behind the Work. And then Friday, we have the current news of the week. So we have a small team. It's not huge. It's not massive like some of these commentators that you'll see on TV. But we do have a very faithful band, a dedicated group working on narration scripts and collecting footage and putting together segments. But we certainly will take to heart what your feedback is there. There's always more that we can do to improve the production. This one here says, excellent program today. You were spot on in your analysis. Thank God for you all. I trust that the feast was truly an inspiring and motivating one. Thank God he has his little flock courageously proclaiming truth. I'm so grateful. God bless and keep up the good work. A couple more here. Being an avid TD listener, I detected a rasp in your voice from the outset of today's show, which was quickly confirmed as lingering congestion from over the weekend. It says, while you were resourceful to have Mr. Palmer and Mr. Livingston as backups, as well as extra video clips, you were trumpeting big time all on your own. Thank you. It says here, P.S., Rush Limbaugh would occasionally do a fourth hour for his online listeners, which most of the time lasted only a half hour or so. Maybe you could do the same. That's for when we get to programs, unlike today. I got through most of the content that I wanted to get to, but quite a few of them. I've got a lot of leftovers. The guys that follow along in the studio or the booth, they could attest to this. They know, and they're talking. Some of these comments are about taking a little extra time when we need it to finish off the show. In any event, speaking of time, we are out. We're at the end of today's broadcast. So sorry, it went by so fast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Creek Keeper.